It's amazing how much in our society today that we are surrounded by that which is not real. It's just not genuine. It's a fake or a fraud. We are used to fake merchandise. There are people who make and sell knockoff Rolex watches. You know, it's not the real thing, but it looks like it. It's not a real diamond. It looks like it. And there's some sort of a false merchandise or a fake merchandise. We're familiar with that. People make it and sell it, make a lot of money doing that. Maybe an expensive lady's handbag or expensive lady's shoes. It's not the real thing. It's not the Gucci handbag. It's something that looks like it, but it's a fake and a fraud. But we're going to charge the same price, you see, for it. And so we're familiar with that. We're familiar with television programs that just aren't real. We were introduced in the late 50s and early 60s to science fiction and going out into space and fighting aliens. And I remember as a child watching Charlton Heston talking to monkeys. Planet of the Apes, you know. That's just not real. What surprised me about that was not only do you have monkeys talking in English, but a lot of them had British accents, which I always thought was kind of interesting. So it makes for entertainment. It's fun, but it's just not real. And in some cases, the fake and the fraud is malicious. It's with the intent to hurt. In other cases, like television programs, it's just simply meant to entertain. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're just here to entertain, and that has a place. But the bottom line is, we have to understand, it's just not real. And the word real can be on it, and it still not be real. I've never seen the programs, but I've heard of Real Housewives of L.A. Well, you know that when a camera is rolling, they're going to be saying and doing things that they would not normally do. So even in those reality programs, we have reality TV. Well, even with that, they're saying and doing things that they wouldn't do if the camera wasn't running. And so it becomes then blurred. Many can't tell the real from the fake. And there are people that actually look at things on TV and they'll go out and implement that in their own lives. They'll see some violence and they'll go carry out violence. They'll see something done and then they'll emulate that, and they don't realize that they're following a fake and a fraud. I'm amazed at some of our commercials today where for years we've had on the car commercials, we've had down at the bottom line, do not attempt. Professional driver, closed course. We've had that for years. But you know what we have now? About a month ago, I saw a car commercial where the guy's speeding around in the car and the car jumps up on top of a train. Have you seen that one? Do you know what it says down at the bottom of the screen? This car cannot jump on top of a train. Oh, really? Really? Do I have to be told that? Well, first of all, the legal department makes sure that that gets in there because of all the lawsuits that would ensue. But not just the legal department and legalities, but we've got to put that in there as a disclaimer so that when somebody goes out and tries it and gets killed, well, we told you that this car cannot jump up on top of a train. We're getting to where people, they can't tell real from fake. They can't even use common sense anymore. They have to be told that. Really? Do I have to be told that? Where's our common sense? Where's our sense of reality and knowing what is true and what is false? We're losing that. And I have to be spoon-fed. Don't take your car and jump up on a train. And so we're in that type of world. And it's common to be around that. And we need to understand that God doesn't want that in our lives. And we can be very religious. If you look at the scripture reading that Shannon had earlier, we're not talking about a group of atheists here. We're not talking about a group of unbelievers. We're talking about what was supposed to be the best of the best of the Jews and religious people. And they're out there as hypocrites, They're putting on a front when they give their good deeds. And then later he talks about prayer. And then he talks about fasting. And they're putting on a fake and a false mask. We'll talk about the word hypocrisy in a minute. But it wasn't genuine. And these people are religious. They believe in God. They read their Bible. They go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. God doesn't want that. And so this morning, I want us to talk about just be the real deal. Just be genuine. In a world of fakes and frauds and phonies, just be the real deal. In our marriage, our family, in the local church, with our neighbors, at work, wherever we are, just be genuine. Young people are taught in society and in commercials that you need to be someone else other than who you are. And so it involves dress and actions and money and things that you have. Try to present yourself as someone else. No, just be real. Be genuine. And so I want us to talk about that this morning. I was reading recently in the book of John about a statement that Jesus made about Nathanael, and it got me to thinking about just be real. Why is it that some people are fake? Well, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes it's with the intent to hurt. Do banks have fraud departments? What is that? Why have an entire fraud department? Because there's a lot of fraudulent activity out there. I didn't realize that until a couple of years ago. A statement showed up on online banking. I saw that I had made some purchases at Lowe's in North Georgia. Oh, really? I didn't remember doing that. And another one at Walmart in North Georgia. Well, someone had gotten a hold of my routing number, and they were printing checks using my bank routing number. So I called the U.S. Bank Fraud Department, and they took care of that. Some of it is with the intent to hurt and be malicious and hurt someone or use someone else's identity, pawn something off. We've got counterfeit money, fake watches, so forth. Some of it's for other reasons. Start right here with our scripture reading. Look at Matthew chapter 6 with me. Why were they doing this? They wanted to bring attention to ourselves. Sometimes we're not who we really need to be because we're trying to gain some attention. The verse says, to be seen of men, they were doing this out on the streets, verse 2. And the same thing with prayer, verse 5, to be seen of men. Verse 16, to be seen of men. And so sometimes we do it because we want to bring attention to ourselves. This is some way that we can get people to look at us. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14, the same thing shows up there as well. Long pretense of prayers, you see. The big flowing robes and the phylacteries and broadening the phylacteries and broadening the... Look at me, you see. So we can bring attention to ourselves. Sometimes we're a fake because it makes us look good with others. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave some money. They wanted to make it look like they were giving all of it. But they held back a portion of it, but they were being hypocritical. And they were lying to the Holy Spirit. But why did they even do that to start with? Because other people, the chapter right before, Joseph or Barnabas, he sold a piece of land and gave them. Well, we want to be like them. We want to look good like Joseph did, you see. We want to be the givers in the church. And so we're giving X amount. No, you're really holding back part of it. So sometimes we do it because it puts us in good standing with others. And I'm right up there in that echelon, you see. Sometimes we're not genuine because it's a way to cover sin inside of our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 with regard to judging. He says there, in verse 5, you hypocrite, cast out first the beam, this big old log, in your own eye, which is representative of any fault or sin you might have in your life. Get rid of that first, and then you shall see clearly to see the mote, which is another word for a little speck or a small piece of wood, in somebody else's eye. But he says, you hypocrite. In chapter 15, verses 7 and 8, You people honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, and you're teaching the doctrines and precepts of men. They inwardly, their traditions were making void the word of God, but on the outside, well, with your lips, we're going to praise God. It's a way to cover up sin. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25. Woe unto you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup. Outside we look religious. Go to the synagogue, go to the temple, read from the old law, that type of thing. But within you are full of extortion and excess. Verse 28, even so outwardly you appear to be righteous, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, the word lawlessness. And so they had sin in their lives, but outwardly they could cover it up by being a fake and a fraud. So there's some sin in our life that we're trying to, instead of repenting and getting rid of it, this is the way to mask that. Some, it's simply a way to have a double standard. We get to live by a different standard than we apply to others. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Jesus exposes this. When Jesus would try to heal on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees would come to him and say, "You're working on the Sabbath day. You're trying to heal people." And Jesus said, "Oh, really? Aren't you the ones that get your ox out of the ditch on a Sabbath day? I'm doing nothing more than what you're doing." And so in Luke chapter 13 and verse 15, "But the Lord answered and said, 'You hypocrites, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away unto watering?'" Other accounts, like in Mark, talk about getting the ox out of the ditch. "I'm just trying to heal this woman," verse 16. "You hypocrites." And so, you shouldn't be doing that on the Sabbath day, Jesus. That's our standard for you. But Jesus turned it right around and said, "Well, wait a minute. You guys don't even live by the same standard." And so it's a way for people to hold other people to some standard, but we're not even going to be held to that same standard. And we can cover that up. These are straight out of the Scripture. Bible examples of why people do what they do. Sometimes it's to hurt others. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I find it surprising that when Paul was in prison, apparently his enemies were such, and we know from other books that there were false brethren, there were Jews and others who were out to get Paul, and that's a shame that we read of that type of thing. But look at this, in Philippians chapter 2, I find it hard to believe, but it's true that here is Paul in prison. And he's not there because he's committed any crime, but he's there for the gospel's sake. And even while he's there, there are people who hope to raise up affliction for him, as if him being there wasn't bad enough. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one do it out of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. But the other proclaim Christ of faction." That is, they're divisive in what they're doing. "Not sincerely, thinking to raise up affliction for me in my bonds." They're going to go out and preach Christ. It's not sincerely. It's out of strife and envy. We're not told exactly what they were saying or doing, but they're out looking like they're preaching Christ and doing that type of thing. But in doing that, they're hoping to raise up affliction for Paul. Look at verse 18. "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense..." Now, underscore that in your Bible. That's a reference back to the people of verse 17. "Not sincerely," or the people of verse 15, envy and strife. He says, whether it's out of pretense or in truth, that's the ones back in verse 16 who are doing it out of love and that type of thing. "Whether it's in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed." There was the end result of Christ being proclaimed in both ways, but some are doing it out of pretense. Some versions say they're pretext. That's an interesting word. You ever heard of the word pretext? Somebody does something for a pretext. You know where that word comes from? That's an interesting word. Pre, of course, before or in front of. And then text. But don't think of like words or letters of text. Think of textile. It's from the Latin textere, to weave together, to make clothing or to make garments by weaving them together. We have textile mills. What are textile mills? They weave things together for garments and so forth. Do you know what a pretext is? A pretext is where you weave something together and you put it in front of something in order to hide it. That's what a pretext is. And so these people are doing it out of pretext. They're doing something, but they put something in front of it in order to hide their true motive or character or reason. And in this case, it was verse 17, hoping to raise up affliction for me. So some do it just to straight out hurt others. Sometimes we're fake because we want to court or curry the favor of others for personal gain. One of the most common ways that this is done is through flattery or our words. Turn with me to Proverbs 29 and verse 5. We don't talk about this a whole lot. There are a lot of things in the Proverbs that are good for us. It's hard to get around to all of them, but here's one that we may not spend a lot of attention on, and that is where we're saying things to other people in order to curry their favor. We can get something from them. We can get some money from them. We can get some attention from them. We can get something from them that other people aren't going to get. So we're going to keep that relationship going by just sort of this mutual gratification society, going back and forth. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his, that is the man who does the flattering, spreadeth a net for his steps. Now we're not talking about a genuine compliment. We're not talking about genuinely giving something to someone. We're talking about saying something with the motive, I'm going to get something from them. Oh, look at how nice you are. Look at this, look at that. And we're hoping that in return we get something in favor. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. When Paul came into Thessalonica, he could have spoken such a way as to get people on his side and gain a crowd and get more numbers and this and that. But he was not going to use, neither at any time were we found using words of flattery. Well, why would you even do that to start with? Why do people do that? False flattery. Why do people do that? Because if I do that with Larry and I do it enough, maybe Larry will give me something. And then I'll keep doing it so Larry will keep giving it to me. I don't really mean it. It's not genuine. But I figure out a way that I can get something from him. And so flattery is building someone up, doing something in some way so that in return you can get something. You're just courting and currying someone's favor. Not to have a genuine friendship with them. We're not talking about genuine compliments. There's a place for that. In fact, one of the Proverbs says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. There's a place for someone else to say, hey, that's great that you did such and such. There's a place for that. And we all want that. But we're talking about a different word here. This is where you're trying to get something from someone. Well, all of those nice words, all it is a fake, you see. Let's be the real deal. Do you know we have some Bible examples of that? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to look at Nathanael here in a minute, and that reading that I came across recently that got me to thinking about this. But I want us to think about Samuel. Do you remember when the children of Israel asked for a king in 1 Samuel chapter 8? And so Saul is selected as the first king. Come with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel says, okay, you asked for this king and you got it, but I want to give you a speech. And he gives them an address. It's a great address to Israel. If you and your new king will be faithful, God will be on your side. If you're not, then God's going to be against you and he'll judge you. And it's a great address. But before he stands up to give this address that is very pointed and very much needed, he talks about his own personal character. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3. Here am I. Witness against me before Jehovah and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or whom has my hand have taken a ransom to blind mine eyes therewith? and I will restore it to you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. Samuel is willing to say, look, look, investigate me, look at me. That's being the real deal. And we need to be like that. We need to be so open and transparent and genuine that we could say, look, just look. Take a look at my life. I'm not trying to cover anything up. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to weasel my way into something. I'm just, what you see is what you get. We need to be like that, brother. And so in verse 5, he said, Jehovah is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they said, he is witness. That's a Bible expression of saying that this man is clean. You know, we need to be like Nathanael. Turn with me to John 1 in verse 47. There's a few times in Scripture where Jesus uses the word indeed. Have you ever noticed that in the study of the Gospels? He'll say something, if you want to be my disciples, indeed, John 8, 24. It's the word that means truly or genuinely. And he uses it a few times. And this is one time where he uses it in John 1, 47. There was all kinds of Israelites around. But when Jesus came up to Nathanael, he said, an Israelite indeed. That set him apart. He was different. Tons of Israelites everywhere. This is an Israelite indeed, truly. Why? John 1, 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The man, he is what he is. He's not a fake or a fraud. We need to be like that. We need to be like Nathanael. Guile means when you're trying to trick someone, you're trying to fool someone. Oh, you don't become completely worldly at it. You keep your religion and you keep the outward thing going. But there's some little motive going on there. Some little something going. We need to be like Nathanael. We need to be like the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to Acts chapter 23. There were different times when Paul said that his conscience was clean. We know when our conscience begins to tell us, hey, you're up to something. Our conscience tells us that. Whether it's those words of flattery or we're putting on that mask or something like that. The conscience says, hey, you're up to something. And Paul is saying, I've lived my life where my conscience does not tell me that. What is that then? He's the real deal. That doesn't mean he's never sinned. When he sinned, he cleared it up, he cleaned it up. But he didn't try to do things and then have a conscience that he tried to harden and act like he never did those things. I've lived before God in all good conscience until this day. Not only did he himself have a clean conscience, but look at chapter 4 and verse 2. Here's the challenging thing. What if I were to turn my life over to Larry's conscience? In other words, Larry is now looking at me. I can always tell that myself is good, but what if I said, okay, Larry, I want you to give an assessment of Chris Reeves. Now, that's a different thing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. We're not going to try to con anybody. We've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, look at this, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Well, we're going to put it out there and let other people say what they want to say about Paul. And what they're going to find is that he's open and honest. It's one thing for us to have a clean conscience. It's another thing to put it out there to other people's conscience and see what they say about Chris Reeves. You see, that's a little different. And what Paul is saying is they're going to find what I find, and that is that we're transparent. No craftiness, nothing. Be the real deal. It's hard sometimes, but we need to be that. That's what God wants. Let's look at a few terms that are found in Scripture. I'm going to look at five of them while we're on the matter of conscience. Let's just start right there. What does the Scripture say about just being real? That's our expression today. Be real. How would the New Testament describe that? Well, let's look at five expressions. First of all, this expression of a good conscience. What is that? That means that when I'm going up to someone and I'm going to say or do something, my conscience says, look, I'm not up to tricking. I'm not trying to con someone here. I'm just clean and pure. I'm just genuine in what I'm about to say or do. It's called a good conscience. Paul talks about it. Turn with me to Timothy. There are different places there with regard to the elder. Faith in a pure conscience. 2 Timothy 1 and 3, a pure conscience. 1 Peter 3:16, a pure or good conscience. What that is, I'm saying and doing things, and I'm just being honest about this. I'm not trying to con somebody. And my conscience is not telling me, hey, Chris, what are you up to? There's none of that going on. And that's the way I need to be. It helps me to be real. And when you see me and hear me, that's what you're getting. Not something on the front that's outward, but that's exactly what you're getting through and through. And we need to be like that. Another expression that is used in the New Testament is without hypocrisy. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. And in James chapter 3 and verse 17, the wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. Do you know what that word means? Well, we know that it means to act one way in front of someone and then act another way. But where did it come from? What does it mean? Well, the word is made up of two little words. Hupo, under, and krisis, to answer. And it meant the Roman or the Greek play actor who had a mask. That's why my first slide had that broken mask. You put a mask on, and in the first century, some would be made out of paper, some might be made out of thin clay, some might be made out of a thin metal, and they would hold a mask up. Just like you would go to TPAC today and watch a play, they might have a mask on. And to answer from underneath the mask, hupo krisis, to answer from underneath. It meant a play actor, someone who's got a mask on, and he's answering. They would put a little slot here, and his words would be coming out, but he's underneath that mask. And so, to answer from underneath, to wear a mask, and to answer from the mask. And so, when we're hypocritical, we're saying and doing things, but there's this mask out here. And our life with God is to be without that. And so, we're not going to say and do things to curry someone's favor, you see, to hurt someone else, to a double standard, all these things, to bring it to... We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to be who we need to be. No agendas. No conning. No fakes. We've got so much of that today that we have to have a commercial now. And down at the bottom, this car cannot jump up on top of a train. Really. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And you'll hear these people that go do these school shootings. Well, why? Well, I was playing video games. That's not real. I saw it on a movie and I tried it. I jumped off a building with a cape and I slammed down. I didn't fly. That's not real. And so we're so much of that. And we have fraud departments for this and fraud departments for that. That we've got to get back to being real. Here's another expression that is used in the New Testament. Unfeigned. What do you do when you feign someone? Feign something. You feign an illness. You feign an accident. You feign a death. What is that? Well, it's a fake. Old English word for fake. But our faith is to be unfeigned. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 6 that as apostles we have a faith unfeigned. There's nothing fake about it. Turn with me again to Timothy. These things show up in Timothy because Paul wanted young Timothy as a youth to build a habit and a discipline and a character of this not being fake. Have a good, clean conscience. And it starts in youth. If we start this fake thing when we're young, it just gets worse when we get older. We learn how to play the system. We learn how to play the game. And we play people. And we're not to be like that. And that's one reason why I believe that Paul addresses this in the youth of Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. The end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Look at those three things that are just mounted up real quick there. Pure heart, good conscience, faith unfeigned. We're not. Some versions have faith that is sincere, or faith that has a sincerity, different versions say. I've told you before about that word sincere from the Latin without wax, where they would take pottery that had a chip in it or a line, and the vendor would pour wax in there and then cover it up. And they would sell this broken pottery at whole prices, as if it were a genuine, fully sound piece. They would sell it at that price, but it would have cracks in it. And so in the first century, a person would walk up to the table and they would say, "Is this pottery sincere? Is it without wax?" That's what they would say in the Latin. "Is it sincere? Is it without wax?" So we're not trying to cover up something, you see. Faith unfeigned. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. 1 Timothy 1 and 5 and 2 Timothy 1 and 5. "Having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice." It gets passed down, doesn't it? Being real and genuine, it gets passed down. Or being fake, that also gets passed down too. So we pass it on to our kids. Where did he get that? Where did he get just a faith that is pure and sincere? He got it from his mother, and she got it from her mother. So we pass it down, don't we? And we're in that position to do that. We need just simply to be real. Here's another expression that is used, and I believe the New American Standard in some versions, my version says a cloak, where they say pretext, and I mentioned to you earlier that that means literally to weave something together and then put it in front of in order to block it or cloak it. And so some of the older versions use the word cloak. We're all familiar with remember the cloaking device of the Klingons? The Klingons had their cloaking device. Well, that wasn't real. It's kind of neat. Makes for a neat show. It's not real. But you can put something out in front and cloak it. "We were not found using words of flattery, as you know, nor a pretext of covetousness." Some versions say, my version says, a cloak of covetousness. We're not going to weave something together and put it in front of and block our real intentions. We need to be the real deal. We need to be an Israelite indeed, in whom is no God. And you know, Jesus saw Nathanael, and Jesus sees us for who we really are. And then last of all, the phrase, no guile. Guile just simply means the fake and the fraud and the foolery and the foolishness. And we go along there, and we're trying to string someone along, and we're just not going to be like that. So putting away all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies. Notice how guile and hypocrisy are found in the same verse. "And all envies and all evil speaking. As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile." Look at it. God's Word is without that. We need to be without that. And when we read God's Word and we're truly applying God's Word, it is without guile. We're not going to have that in our life. In fact, if we would love life and see good days, let our lips, verse 10, speak no guile. When we're the fake and the fraud, that's not going to be a good life. As the proverb says, it just brings snares to our steps. It just causes problems. We need to be real because God sees us for who we really are. I want to close with these admonitions. Jesus didn't need for man to witness to him because the Scripture says he knew what was in man. We're like an open book. Hebrews 4:13. We're naked and laid open before him with whom we have to do. God sees us anyway. Why not just be real? He's going to see us anyway for who we really are. And we're going to have to face that in the judgment day. So just be real now. He sees right through us. Well, that doesn't help me accomplish. Look. We have to worry about facing God. We need to be real because He doesn't deal kindly with fakes and frauds. You know, we have these fraud departments and so forth, FBI and so forth. They'll come down hard on someone who's, you know, counterfeiting money and so forth, throw them in jail. How much more so God? In Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 1, Jesus had a scathing rebuke for those hypocrites. And in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51, you know who's going to be in hell? Jesus has different times where he talks about hell, and in Matthew 24:51, the unprofitable servant, he's going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and where the hypocrites are. So we need to be real. And you know what? We may not think about this next one, but turn with me to Romans chapter 2. You know that when we're a fake and a fraud, that's the very thing the world is looking for in us as an excuse for them not to live right themselves. Well, if that person claims to be Church of Christ and they're doing such and such, well, why would I want to be a part of that? Why would I want to go there? Why would I want to be a so-called Christian if they're doing what they're doing? And so it becomes an occasion. These Jews, look at it. Verse 20, they claim to be a corrector of babes and teach people the law. But verse 21, they were teaching other people, don't steal, but they were stealing. They were hypocritical. But what did it cause to do? Verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Oh, they got caught. And when they got caught by people in the world being a fake, then that was the very thing the world used to say, if those type of people are serving that kind of a God, I don't want to have anything to do with it. We need to think about that. And because we just want to live by the golden rule, there's not a one of us here that wants to be approached by a fake and a fraud. There's not a one of us who wants that. So why would we do that to others? We don't want someone to flatter us so that they can get something out of us. We don't want that. So why do that with others? We don't want someone to be religious on the outside and inwardly try to cover up sin or hurt others. We don't want any of that. So why would we do that to others? Whatever you would have others do to you, you do that to them. Matthew 7:12. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love them and treat them the way you would want to be loved and treated. And then we need to think about this one last thing. And that is, you know, that when you're the real deal, no pretense, no pretext, no hidden agenda, do you know that that's the way you really move forward and succeed in life? You have genuine relationships that are fruitful and grow and prosper. There's a couple of things that I think of. Look at Luke 15 and verse 17 with regard to coming to the Lord. You know, we'll just look at ourselves. We'll be genuine. And when he's off gallivanting out with the harlots and having a good time, that's not real. But when he came to himself, he goes back to his Father. Being real causes us to, I just want to be right with God. No more playing games. I just want to be right with God. And so I come, I obey the gospel, or I come back as an erring Christian. It causes us to thrive and succeed and do what's right. And it also builds genuine, lasting relationships. The only way a marriage can survive, the only way a parent-child relationship can survive, the only way a relationship with our brethren can survive, and even those outside the church, just being honorable in the sight of all men. Transparent, genuine, authentic, real. And so Paul puts it this way, live honorably in the sight of all. Romans 12:17. No hidden agendas, no foolery, no trickery. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 with regard to transporting the funds, the money from that was collected for the needy saints in Judea. As the money is being collected around Macedonia and hoping to collect money from Corinth, we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 21, this money is going to be transported by some men. Looking at 2 Corinthians 8:20, avoiding this, that any man should blame us in the matter of this bounty. Maybe Paul's trying to skim off the top. Maybe he's trying to steal a little money. So that we can avoid all of this, which is ministered by us. For we take thought for things honorable, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. And so he makes this plan where he's not handling the money, but others are going to handle that. But not just in the sight of God, religious matters, but even in the sight of men at work and school and our neighbors. We're just gonna be honest. We're gonna be real. And so I close this morning. Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Let's just be real. And if that means this morning coming and obeying the Lord, let's do that. If that means stopping all of the mask wearing and all that kind of thing, then let's do that. That is the only way we can maintain a good relationship with God and others. That's the only way we can come to God and be right with God. I'm surprised how much we're surrounded by the fake. All over TV, all over our society, when God just simply wants us to be real. If we can encourage you to do that, be that way in your life, and we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Bring Christ.